Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay, still celebrating Valentine's Day week.
Yeah, somebody left some candy in here.
Sean is delving into the chocolates already.
What are you talking about?
Which is great for broadcasting.
Yeah. What are you doing? Are you still eating that? I kind of pointed at it like, hey, if you want some of these later, and he opened it and started eating.
Guess who's clearly not training for a fight right now? Just saying.
I mean.
All right, we've got a lot to do this week. We've got segment 3, Dominic Cruz and his knee. We'll stop by and have a conversation with Ken. And then we've got the question of the week. This week, if we pick your question, we are going to hook you up with a set of 3 DVDs from the UFC. And we have a big bout on Fuel TV. If you're a bantamweight fan, we've got the interim championship being defended. That's obviously why we got Dominic Cruz on to ask when in the Sam Hell he's going to be back. So we'll get answers to that. Till then, though, the IOC has cut wrestling out of the 2020 Olympics in order to add the Elimination Chamber from the WWE as an event. So we
is that a true thing?
No,
is that a true thing?
I wish it was. I wish it was. But we will talk about that in segment 2. But now we will talk about Fuel TV this weekend. You got another fight, and Sean's favorite word, another free fight, leading into next weekend's Ronda Rousey.
You gotta love free, guys.
Liz Carmouche main event, which will be a pay-per-view, so it'll be interesting to see what happens as far as audience between the free fight this weekend and if ladies MMA will have any sort of sticking in the world of mixed martial arts. Henan Barao will defend the bantamweight interim championship against Michael McDonald, two of my favorite fighters at this weight level, because Henan Barao undefeated in the UFC and has one loss. His very first professional bout was a loss, and after that, he is flawless. Michael McDonald also undefeated in the UFC, last beat Miguel Torres, and that brings us to where we are this weekend. This should be a very, very exciting fight. People who are kind of in the know have always wanted to see Michael McDonald, he was on a tear for a while, go against Dominic Cruz for that title shot. Didn't happen. Henan Barao fought for the interim, and he now wears the strap around his waist, and we will wait and see what happens when these guys win. If Dominic Cruz is going to come back, we'll talk to him in segment 3.
I think Henan Barao may be the longest reigning interim champ that we've seen in the UFC. I know he's going at something like 200-something days at this point.
It has to be pretty close because, Cruz will be out for nearly 2 years at the time he finally gets back in the octagon.
Right, his last fight was Demetrius Johnson near the end of 2011, if I remember correctly.
It's crazy.
Is this Barao's first title defense?
Yes, because they were waiting to see if Dominic would come back.
Okay.
And then if you don't know, Dominic Cruz had that battle with Demetrius Johnson, had some knee injuries, went to get it scoped and get his ACL fixed. I believe it was the ACL.
Yes.
And then had that replaced and got halfway through the rehab when his body rejected the ACL and he essentially had to start all over, which is horrific.
Like 9 months.
Yeah,
or
horrific
yeah.
to even think about. But he is back on the mend. Like I said, he'll check in with us in segment 3.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, he had to do when he was injured is go through that rehab and realize that cadaver replacement ligament was going to be rejected when he had that reconstructive surgery.
Right.
So they actually had to take, I believe it was patella tendon of his own, to put it in to help stabilize the knee. So, I mean, not only are you having surgery and having that situation happen where you have replacements and they're cutting you open and all that things, but you have healing because they're taking a part of your own body and putting it in. And I'll ask him to tell us more about that and what was going on later. But think about that. Not only do you have two surgeries, but you have the recovery from the fact that they're taking part of your patella tendon out of where it usually is to increase stability across the knee. It's been a nightmare. Essentially, I believe, for Dominic Cruz at this point. He's been on the broadcast team. He's going to be there, too. That's going to be interesting. He's going to be in Wembley when this goes down and essentially see who he gets to fight next if he's coming back soon.
Now, Sean, when we watched GSP come back from a similar injury, obviously his body didn't reject it, but he had a knee deal happen, and we were all wondering what that would do to his explosiveness, his movement. And while he was a little bit, I would say, tentative in that fight, once he got his groove back, it was old GSP. Dominic Cruz's entire game plan is movement.
Yeah,
over
lots of lateral movement.
Yeah,
he
so
moves around.
What goes through a fighter's mind knowing that you essentially got to start over and know that that knee is as important to your game plan as your fists are?
Well, both, Dominic Cruz and GSP, when they come back, they're not getting like a little easy fight right. or anything. You know, they're going straight into the top of the food chain fighter, and it's really difficult to do that because then, you know, when you get a surgery, like I'm surprised that these guys are even like able to walk soon, like right after, and I'm sure they got great specialists and rehab people with them and everything, but to go to the top level of mixed martial arts and fight the number one guy. And it's just so intense.
Well, think about it when he comes back.
How do you wrap your mind around that?
It's impossible. Whoever he ends up fighting, whether it ends up being Hennen Burrell or Michael McDonald here, it's going to be a guy that's actually ranked higher than he is at this point because he's been out of the game so long. Because they're 1-2, right?
Yep.
1-2 in the world right now at bantamweight. He's not even in the top two. He's the champion, but he's been injured, so there's an interim champion. When he comes back, he's going to have to fight a guy that has been ranked higher than him for the better part of the last year and a half.
And Ken, when this happened to GSP, he holistically agreed with the way that they did it, as I'm sure Dominick Cruz would, is that if I'm not able to fight, you can't rank me. You know, if I'm sitting out, there's an interim champion, I should be off the charts because I can't defend my belt and have essentially retired due to injury until I come back. So yeah, these guys are going to be ranked higher than him because he hasn't defended the belt in 2 years, and he's got to come into some deep waters with two guys who, I'm telling you, if you have fuel, if you're one of the six people on earth that can actually watch
you them, just say that because you don't have it.
I've been trying to go to his house to watch it because I know he has
right
it,
for so. Sure this fight is going to be amazing. I love these two guys.
And fireworks, you know.
Absolutely. And actually, most of the card is going to be fireworks. Co-main event is Cub Swanson. He's going to be taking on Dustin Poirier, another game opponent who is right in line for a title shot, I think. Lost to the Korean Zombie, who we've been banting about. Is he the next guy for Aldo? We don't know. And Danny Castillo, but he beat Jonathan Brookings. Cub Swanson beat Roop Oliveira and Pearson last and is ranked 9th in the world. Dustin Poirier ranked 7th in the world. There's actually a great documentary about Dustin Poirier. If you don't know a lot about him, it's called Fightville. You can get that on Netflix or pretty much anywhere. A brilliant MMA documentary about a brilliant fighter who I'm excited to see in the co-main event on Saturday night.
Now, in the UFC rankings, the new rankings, he's 37th in the world. No, I'm kidding.
In the new rankings, Dustin Poirier is the number one heavyweight on planet Earth.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow, they really have that one way off.
They have, yes, it's very, very off. Jimmy Manoa is also fighting. He is an absolute beast. Beat Kyle Kingsbury in his debut. He's taking on Cyril Diabate, who beat Chad Griggs. This should be a fun fight, I would say, Sean.
I'd say a great, fun stand-up fight because I don't see these guys really going on the ground. But it is MMA. You never know what's going to happen. But, I mean, if you're looking for a good stand-up war, Diabate is going to bring it, I think.
And we have talked on this show numerous times about Gunnar Nelson. And when he made his debut, it was a brutal beating of Demarcus Johnson. He's going to be taking on Jorge Santiago. Now, here's the fun thing about...
Is that like a little gimme fight right there?
I mean, yes, I was just getting there. I mean, Jorge Santiago has fought in the UFC. This will be his third go-around with the UFC. He has won exactly one time in his three. This will be his third trip. Gunnar Nelson is no joke, and they are clearly, Sean, as you indicated, building this guy up for some bigger stuff. And
he's marketable.
And another brutal knockout of a guy like this on a free card
might
on
Fuel. Might send Jorge away for a while.
Probably will send Jorge to the hospital at least.
Okay. Yes, Gunnar Nelson, very impressive. I'm not saying I'm even picking against him in this fight, but I'm looking at this card and looking at this fight. This tends to be a trap fight for guys like Gunnar Nelson, where they kind of get settled in to the fact that they're in the UFC, they've had some impressive wins, and they start maybe reading the hype. And I'm not saying Gunnar Nelson's that type of guy, but you go in there, you know, this isn't a gimme fight. This isn't a guy who's 4-3 in MMA. This is a guy who's got over 30 MMA fights on his record. He's 25-10. Yeah, that's a guy who's lost 10 times, but that's also a guy who knows what he's doing in MMA to win 25 fights.
And I'm not disagreeing with you one bit. I'm just saying the last performances that Jorge's brought
the
game hasn't been at the same level as Gunnar. That's all.
He's certainly not at the same level as Gunnar. This is a trap fight for sure. We have seen, I mean, ask Overeem about trap fights. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be very, very dangerous.
When he wakes up, right?
Right, exactly. All I was saying is while he has 35 professional fights and he has done very well in his career, he doesn't tend to shine when he gets back to the UFC. He's not very good
in the biggest, brightest lights,
was all I was saying. And then when you're going against a guy like Gunnar Nelson.
Well, let's not forget every time we get the Eric O'Brien, stamp of approval on some of these guys. It's like a curse of death.
This is a welterweight fight, though, right? Because Jorge has fought at 85 and at 70. Is this going to be a welterweight fight?
I believe it is a welterweight fight, yes. But really a curse?
No, it's not necessarily a curse. It might be after this week. We'll decide if there is a curse when Eric O'Brien loves an up-and-coming fighter.
Well, here's another one that I love, and I'll curse him as well. Ryan Jimmo is fighting his debut 7-second knockout of Anthony Perosh, fighting another brutal guy in that division at 205. James Tahuna, whose only loss in the UFC is against a guy who we all think is going to get a title shot in a minute in Alexander Gustafsson. So, again, you want to talk fireworks, you're going to get it here in the second fight on the main card.
Yeah, the fuel cards have been very good the past couple of times around, and you may not necessarily know all the fighters as well as you would know somebody on an FX card or a Fox card, but they've been pretty good at performances, and they've been pretty good at showing us fights that we would want to see casually. And that's what I really love about these fuel fights, because I guess where you would put them in the pantheon of fights is maybe the ESPN Friday night fight setup. And I don't know how much boxing you watch, but without fail, whenever I see that's on and I turn it on, I seem to turn it off within another 10 to 15 minutes, because those guys on those fight cards, and this isn't MMA versus boxing, I'm just trying to find a fair comparison. It just doesn't seem to be happening on those lower levels of boxing, and I think it's fair to call this the lower level of what we would say is UFC, which is still a very high level of MMA. If they're entertaining, they're entertaining, and that's what they've been able to accomplish with these fuel cards.
And to that point, Ken, you've seen that happen with Bellator. You don't know a lot of the guys that are on there, but they seem to put on some amazing fights. So if you're floating by Spike on Thursday night and you're an MMA fan, chances are you're locked in till that thing is over.
Well, the thing about Bellator is that they're only highlighting their main cards. And so when you got a fuel card, I mean, you know, they got the prelims, and I get it sometimes on Facebook, and, you know, you'll do a prelim on Fuel and then you'll watch something else on Fox.
Right.
And I get that. But the way Bellator is doing it, they kind of just showcase their top guys in that segment.
My point, Sean, was you probably don't, as a casual MMA fan, know a lot of the guys that are on the roster.
Oh, yeah.
Bellator.
I see some great fights. I'm like, what was that guy's name? Was it Ruffer?
Are you making words up again?
So that's, you know, when you talk about the lower tier cards, Ken, this is kind of the comparison. And maybe a lot of people don't know my new favorite fighter on planet Earth, Gunnar Nelson, and how he's going to take the title. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Is that
the stamp?
Curse!
The stamp.
And my other favorite fighter, Ryan Jimmo, who's also going to take whatever title he would like to take. So this card is going to be an exciting, fun night of free fights. Kicked off for all us jiu-jitsu nerds with Che Mills and Matt Riddle, because I can't wait to see those two get it on. Che Mills striking is ridiculous, and Riddle seems to be able to pull these exciting submissions kind of out of thin air. So
whatever happened to Matt Riddle? I mean, he used to be kind of like that weird, boring fighter, and all of a sudden his last three fights, he's been spectacular.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, what's going on with this guy?
I give credit to Joe Silva. He's been putting on some great sequences of fights to get you really excited for the main event, which I feel is going to be absolutely fantastic. Henan Barral, Michael McDonald, as we said, the actual champ, not the interim champ, Dominic Cruz, will stop by in segment three, talk about how his knee is healing and what is going to be next for him. When will he get back, if he's going to get back? And speaking of getting back, in section two, let's talk about the Olympics and how they are no longer going to have wrestling, but competitive walking will stick around in 2020. It's next on Way of the Warrior. Dream of Juice.